forward-thinking, and could have been a lot of different things, but it has a lot to do with our thought life, okay? And that's kind of where it started a few weeks ago. The Lord started laying on my heart that there's something that happens in our Christian life that, you know, it goes beyond what happens on the inside. Eventually, things start working its way out, and as we live out our Christian life, a lot of it is going to depend on what is on the inside of our head, between our ears. So we're going to take a little look at that. But as I do, I think I want to share some encouraging words with you, something that will help to confirm that God is at work in your life. Okay, because He is. Whether you can see it or not, God is at work in your life. He never goes to sleep. He never takes a day off. He never forgets. Never stuffs you on a shelf and walks away. You are constantly the apple of His eye. You're constantly in His view, and He wants you to keep working out those details in your life that will accomplish the things that He wants. But along with the words of encouragement, I also want to do maybe a little bit of challenging. Okay, because of our thought life being so important, sometimes we need to stop and think. Okay, we need to take that moment and catch ourselves and thinking, you know what, this way of thinking has kept me in this situation for 10 years. Maybe it's time to change my way of thinking. Okay, and so part of that challenge is going to be part of this morning as well. As I want you to know and deeply know and understand your acceptance, your value, okay, by God, as a child of God, how much He values you and your importance in the kingdom. But then I also want to exhort you not to settle, okay, for lack of a better term, I call it mundane Christianity, okay, where you're just kind of going through the motions, okay, not pressing forward for God's very best in your life, okay, because there's always that I'm a one-up guy. I love to take it the next step. Let's go a little deeper, a little further. Let's go farther with God, and with God, I keep finding I haven't reached the end, and I'm one of those guys, you know, so constantly trying to get up there, get better, get, you know, to seek more and to let Him do more in my life, and I have not found the end. And I don't believe I will probably for my entire life. I'll live it that way. But it is something to pursue because there is a prize. Okay? There is a prize. Getting saved, okay, and ensuring your eternal life in heaven, okay, as critical as that is, okay, we just shared a little altar call this morning before we partook of communion, as phenomenal of a moment in our life as that is just the beginning, okay, and so as we live out our life, there's more to it than just knowing that we're going to heaven. God has some plans for your life, okay, it says that, right, we all know the scriptures, right, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to bring good, do those things in your life, right, God has a plan for you, and I can say with utmost confidence to anyone that hears this message that God's plan for your life is bigger than what you think it is, okay, because he has this. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And yet we have the Holy Spirit to help connect with some of that so that we can begin to go in that direction. Okay, but His ways are always going to be, God is always a step ahead. Is that fair? Okay, that God will be a little bit a step ahead, but He knows the potential that you have in your life and He wants to help you to reach it. Our attitude, our thoughts, our, you know, kind of what's on the inside of us, our motivations, what drives us, mainly talking about those thoughts of our current life, kind of where we're at right now today, and our future, okay, those thoughts about this life right now and the thoughts about our future, kind of what God might be up to, where we're headed, are critical to being able to let go of some of the stuff that's holding you back. Okay, so we got to take a little look at where we are right now and where we're going. You know, I know that we've been studying the book of Titus on Wednesdays. Okay, in that book, it's just been powerful to me to look at kind of the purpose. Why did Paul write this specific letter to Titus? Okay, well, as you look into that, you find out that Paul had assigned Titus to be a pastor, the pastor, over the main church on the island of Crete. Okay, it's down south of Corinth and all that out in the ocean. Sea, more of a sea. Okay, and as he assigned him to be the pastor of this main church, then he said he wanted him to then go and basically start or plant churches, if they weren't already going, all around the island in the other cities, and to train up, raise up leaders, he called them elders, and set them over each one of those churches, so that they all had this growth, and that the kingdom of God would continue to grow and to flourish. But the Apostle Paul knew some things about Crete. He was a scholar guy, right? He liked to study, and he knew about Crete. Okay, and he had been there. Crete as a whole was known as being pretty rough and tough, kind of rough around the edges. Okay, they were kind of a rough crowd, okay, in other words. So when Christ got into their hearts, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they got saved, but they had a long journey ahead of them towards holiness. Okay, because they had a lot of foul stuff to be letting go of, okay? There was a process that needed to happen. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter, sort of admonishes Titus, because the people were getting saved, they were coming to the church, but they were not growing in godliness like they could. They were not living up to their potential in Christianity. Okay, they were accepting their eternal life as sort of the end game. Praise God, now we know, we're on our way to heaven. They were sort of satisfied in that. Okay, they would gather together with other people that they know we're going to. Okay, but they were not pressing forward in their walk with God towards fulfilling that high calling of God in Christ Jesus that is upon every believer. Okay, they had kind of forgotten the process of, you know, what we strive and live in, as he said, be holy, for I am holy, God said. So Paul's writings they make up over a third of the New Testament. If you read through them, a lot of them, you will see this same theme to them, okay? Because he was seriously concerned with the spiritual growth of God's children, okay? He did not want them to settle for less than what God desired. And he often saw, just like we do in the church today, that believers often do settle. Okay, they settle falling short, stopping short of what they could have. Okay, if they would just keep pressing on. So they would just keep pressing forward into God. It is probably one of the hardest parts. If you ask Pastor what's one of the hardest parts of your job, one of the things is, it's 24/7, but the other part is that you see the potential in people. Okay, and you see that and it just hurts. It aches in your heart because you know that God has a plan for this person. You can see it. Okay, or you know even from conversation or whatever it is, you get the impression that God has more. God has a bigger, better plan for this person. And you see that they're not striving for it. They've sort of settled in. Okay, sort of gotten into this place where, you know what, I'm going through the motions. I'm on my way to heaven. But they haven't pressed forward as far as they could. You know, there's a good Bible example of this I want to show you in 2 Kings chapter 13. This is when the prophet Elisha was giving some prophetic words to the king of Israel. His name was Joash. Okay, and he was going to tell him how things would turn out for him in battle. Okay, and it ended up being that Elisha, at this moment in his life, was on his deathbed. Okay, he had the ailment that was going to take him out, the Bible says. And that's when King Joash came to him. King Joash, it doesn't even say that he came and asked him for a word. He came and praised Elisha and said, praise God for this man and all the things, God, that you've done through this man. And right then, Elisha starts giving him a word. Okay, and this is what we see in chapter 13 of 2 Kings, starting in verse 15. He said it says, Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he, Joash, took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands, like kind of overlaid them. And then he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And verse 18, he said, now take the arrows. And Joash took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice or three times and then stayed or stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria only three times or but thrice. See, the prophet spiritually saw the potential for complete and total victory over the Syrians for this king. But the attitude and the effort of the king was only half-hearted. Elisha tells him, you should have struck the ground with those arrows five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you completely destroyed it. It would have been utterly annihilated, consumed by you. Their land is now your land, in other words. But he said, since you only struck it three times, that is what you're going to have, is three victories, but then Syria basically is still going to be a thorn in your life, the thorn in your side. You will not completely overcome them. You know, you've heard the exhortation before that winners never quit and quitters never win. Anybody ever heard that? It's been around for a long time. A coach that's a pretty famous football coach named Vince Lombardi used to frequently remind his players of that statement, okay, of that life principle. He'd tell them, you won't win if you quit too soon. Okay, how many times have you seen that in football, baseball, basketball, you name a sport, or just in life, where people are going to win, and then they sort of ease up, in the fourth quarter they get dominated, and it happens, right? You quit too soon, you don't win. Many of the victories in life, many of the breakthroughs where we're pressing in, trying to get over something, trying to overcome an area, many of the successes in our life, the achievements, they are only going to come when it seems like a long season of unfruitfulness has passed. Okay, well, we're just going through it and doing it and don't seem like our effort is producing any fruit. After countless hours of studying, countless hours of praying and standing in the gap for a loved one, sometimes for years, or moment after moment after moment, day after day of resisting the same temptation that keeps trying to come back into your life, or patiently and faithfully giving, okay, investing into the kingdom of God, all those things pay off eventually. Okay, all of them pay off eventually. The sad reality is that many of these payoffs never come simply because people gave up and they quit too soon. Okay, they didn't keep striking the ground. Our life is like a contest for a prize. Okay, and I know that because of the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It tells us that. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. Okay, live your life, run your race, go through it like you're trying to obtain the prize. Okay, we're all in this race called life. So you should run it in a way like it matters. Like the prize is there and you want to obtain it and make it yours. Okay, there's no selfishness in that. It's about living the life that God wants you to live. You know, I've often seen people that admire or are in awe of someone because of the success and how very successful they are. They assume that, well, maybe those people have just been, you know, they're special. Okay, there's something unique about them. They're just special and blessed by God. Okay, God blessed them more than he did me. But the reality is that many people never reach their full potential simply because they didn't keep going. Okay, simply because they quit when it got hard. They gave up. They were not willing to put in the hard work and the effort that it takes to be successful. that we want just a hand-me-down success, but I tell you what, the ones that are really successful are the ones that work for every little bit they got. Okay, and I'm not saying talking about works, okay, trying to do that, but it's about going after life with a mission. Okay, you're not in it just to receive, you're in it to take, okay, as well. Apathy and complacency and laziness are all directly related and affected by your attitude. Okay, what you're thinking about your life right now on the inside is making a difference for your future. Okay, are you reaching and striving for a better life out there, or are you just going to take what comes? Okay, there's a different way of living. A defeatist mentality is only going to net you defeat. Okay, a mediocre effort will at best only gain you mediocre results. You know, I had a friend when I was in high school that we were on the wrestling team together. And he was a couple years younger than me. We ended up being really close friends. And he, out of his own mouth, would tell you that the only reason that he went out for wrestling was he wanted to be able to hang out with his friends, but especially the cheerleaders, right? He was kind of a ladies' man, and really liked the cheerleaders. That guy would put very little effort into ever improving at the sport of wrestling. Okay, while the rest of us were, you know, cutting weight, trying to get down to a lower weight class so we could be more competitive, this guy was just pigging out. He could care less about what weight class he was in or whether he was competitive or not. We would run laps and lift weights, and this guy would never run as fast as he could, never lift as hard as he could. He'd just sit under the weight bench for like 10 minutes, and then the coach would holler at him. He'd do one or two, and then just lay there some more. Instead, this guy, rather than trying to improve and get stronger and do all those things, he sort of took pride in coming in last, okay, and took pride in being weak. We used to tell this story about before he came to our school, and he got into a fist fight with some guy, and he got knocked completely unconscious by a punch in the stomach. Okay, and to us, that was kind of like, wow, how do you pass out from a punch in the stomach? But this guy could do it, and he was proud of it, right? And that was kind of his mentality. Well, I remember one wrestling tournament in particular that we went to. It was out of town. We went to this tournament, and it was what they call a double elimination tournament. Okay, which meant that you would keep having matches as long as you kept winning. Okay, you have matches until you lost twice. Okay, basically double elimination. You lose twice, you're out. Okay, and that in the guys that would keep winning would wrestle, sometimes 5-6 times till they get to the championship. Then usually the two guys, neither one of them had lost yet, right? And that's who wrestled in that championship. Okay, well, this kid told me before that tournament that his goal was to go get beat as fast as he could in his first two matches so that he could hang out with the cheerleaders, okay? And so in his first match, he went out and he got pinned in like a minute and a half, okay? His second match was against a very well-known state champion in our state. I'll never forget the guy. And he was defeated, this friend was defeated before he even stepped on the mat. You could see it in his face. He knew this guy, we all knew this guy, and before he even went out there, you knew that he was as good as done. Okay, and he went out and was pinned in a school record 6 seconds into the match. The ref tweeted, flipped him, threw him right on his back, and pinned him in 6 seconds. That kid bragged about that for the rest of the time I knew him. A couple weeks later, okay, a couple weeks later, at a team duel, okay, now it's no longer a tournament, it's one-on-one, one team against another, and we had gone to this particular town where that state champion was. And this time, instead of my friend having to wrestle him, it was me that had to wrestle that guy. But I went in with a different attitude than my friend had. Okay, I went in thinking that I was not going to get killed by this guy, but that I was going to put everything I had into beating this champion. I wrestled the best match of my entire wrestling career that night. I was literally knocked unconscious halfway through that match, about 2 or 3 minutes into the 6-minute match. I was knocked unconscious on the mat. And I'll never forget the conversation as my coach came to wake me up. Okay, and I don't know if they used smelling salts or whatever, but the referee was there, and my coach had knelt down over me. And he's like, you know, slapped my face a little bit. Hey, you know. And I came to, and I tried to sit up. He said, no, just stay down. He said, do you want to finish the match? Okay, because at that point, you can forfeit very easily. Nobody's going to think twice. You got knocked out in a match. Okay, walk off if you can and be done. But I'll never forget that conversation. I remember it like it was yesterday. Because my coach said, Gary, do you want to finish the match? And I looked up at him and I said, just tell me what I got to do to beat this guy. And my coach kind of chuckled a little bit. The referee nods his head and says, I guess he's going to keep wrestling. The coach told me, he laughed a little bit, and he said, Gary, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Okay, and that was all I needed to hear. Okay, I got up and continued wrestling the best match of my life. I don't remember most of it. And I ended up in a hospital that night. I spent the night in the hospital with a concussion. Threw up all the way home on the bus, all that stuff. But I finished that match. The only thing I had to do so that my team would not lose that duel was to not get pinned by this guy. And I went out and I knew I was not going to get pinned. There was no way he was going to pin me. I lost the match. I did not beat this champion. I lost by points. It was like 15-9 or something. But it was a close enough score that our team won the duel. Okay? I was, at that point, not that big a guy, but I was the heaviest guy on the team. I was the last match of the night. And if that guy had pinned me, we would lose the duel. If he beat me by 15 points or more, we would lose the duel. Okay? So my attitude, I'm not telling that story to boast. I'm telling you that your attitude makes all the difference. Because I wasn't a state champion kind of wrestler. I mean, I was decent, but not like this guy was. Okay, I went out with that attitude that I am not going to be defeated. And I did my very best, and that's what happened. Okay, you know, as a Christian believer, we are never to give a half-hearted effort at anything that we do in life. Okay, Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that it is of the Lord that you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, the first couple verses, verse 1 says this. Says, wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that had endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, having a winning attitude rather than a poor me or a victim mentality is crucial. But even then, the critical step is putting action to your thoughts. Even when it comes to something as profound as our salvation, our eternal life, we're instructed to believe in our hearts and then to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. That is engaging in an action that declares what we believe in our mind. Okay, speaking it out. Romans 10:9, most of you know that it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay, you can say that you believe something, but your actions, your behaviors, your words should line up with what you believe. You truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you are not ashamed to confess him with your mouth, When I got saved, my friend told me, you should go tell somebody. I gave my life to Christ, so I went to the gas station and told the cashier, I just gave my life to Jesus Christ. I just accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. A great example of this in the Bible is the eunuch that Philip the evangelist came upon in his journey. Okay, Philip was going along. He saw that the eunuch was reading from the scriptures. And he approached the eunuch and asked him if he understood what he was reading. The eunuch invites Philip up to come up onto his chariot and sit next to him and explain it to him. And that is exactly what Philip did. But then here's what the eunuch did next. In chapter 8 of Acts, verses 36 through 38, it says, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The eunuch didn't just say that he believed, but he said, I believe, now let me demonstrate that I believe. Okay, when Christians say that they love Jesus, and then they avoid worship, okay, they avoid fellowship, they rarely read God's word, they don't make God a consistent priority in their lives, they need to acknowledge that their words and their actions are not lining up. They need to make some changes in the way that they think and then act on those new thoughts. Okay, if you struggle with a particular sin in your life or a certain area of your life, take the time to stop and think for a minute. If you're thinking, I don't want to engage in this behavior anymore, then ask yourself, so what could I do to prove that I'm serious about not doing it again? Maybe it's just sharing it with someone and getting some accountability established. Okay? Many people refuse to even go that far, but that's one of the first steps. If you say in your heart that I want to start being more giving, okay, I want to deepen my walk with God, I want to serve in the church, I want to be known as someone who loves God or loves and serves others, then specifically ask yourself, what could you start and continue doing to bring that to pass? If you've got hopes and dreams, but they're just hopes and dreams, they'll never be achieved until you start thinking, what do I need to do to get there? If it's a vacation, and boy, I sure wish I could go on a vacation, but you're not ever saving money because that's the reason you don't go, then where can you start? $10 a week, 5 years from now, you're going on a great vacation. Something like that. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9, as I close this out, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Okay, don't fall apart. Don't let it not happen. You know, there may be certain times in your life, certain things that you're going to want to throw in the towel. Okay, it's a dead-end road, and you figured that out. It's time to throw in the towel. But many more times, you're going to want to stay in the fight. You're going to want to keep going. Get up off the mat, finish the match, so to speak. Many people leave or they quit. They lose when victory is just around the corner. We want to keep pressing forward. Okay, press into that calling on your life. Everybody's got it. God's got something. He didn't save you for no reason. He saved you on purpose. Okay, He wants you to share the love and the grace of Jesus Christ with people. Our mission as a church is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to more people. Whatever that takes all of us. Let's keep pressing into God. Let's press forward. Let's use forward thinking. Think about what's coming next. Father, we praise You this morning as we dig into Your Word, Lord. We think of the encouragement, the things, the stories that you've given us, Lord, the examples in your scripture. And Father, I pray that you just bring things to mind in our hearts, in our minds, that we think of that, you know what, I've been going down this road and haven't seen much, but what could I do to ensure that I get to the end of that road? Lord, I know that as we seek you then and we ask, Lord, what could I do? Help me, Lord, that you will reveal it. You will show it. You will speak to us and reveal some of those things in our hearts and our minds. You will take us to that next step. You'll help us go further and farther with you and expand and glorify you and the kingdom of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for your work that you've started in our life. Your word says you'll never quit working it. You'll finish what you started in our hearts, Lord. And we pray this morning as we look to you, we yield to you, we trust in you, that you will bring these things to pass, Lord. Give us some insight, Lord. Give us some wisdom. Your word says if we ask for that, you will not hold it back. So, Father, we ask for that wisdom in every area of our life, Lord, in our relationships, in our finances, in our spiritual life with you, our Christian life. We ask for your help in our workplaces, in our families. Help us with our thoughts and get our thoughts in the right place, Lord. We bring them into that captivity of Christ. We allow you to lead and guide and to think like you would have us think, Lord. Allow your Spirit to lead us, to prompt us, to encourage us, that we may follow wholeheartedly, Lord, not holding back in any way. Father, we trust you for these things. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, Amen.